We all know how many senses we have, don't we? And which one's predominant? Five, I think, at the last count. And as civilizations have progressed, so senses have changed and evolved. I think that originally our sense of smell was very acute, as was our hearing. But now the sense of sight seems to predominate. And many of you have been used to reading sermons or lecture notes as they are delivered. As I look around, I don't think anybody is, which is good. Indeed, in schools, children have tremendous difficulty in concentrating or focusing their attention at all if they haven't anything to read or if they haven't a fully activated computer screen with all lights and digits and all the rest of it in front of them. Lights and action. So today, I challenge you. If you do have your sermon notes in front of you, put them down and allow yourselves to be transported back to that first century, somewhere in the Middle East, to the hot, dry dust of a small town, but during a Roman occupation, where fear and rebellion are in the air. Troubled times, rumors, threats, crowds, mobs, not unlike that which we see in Palestine and Israel today. Well, anyone who reads an account of the post-resurrection narratives cannot fail to be struck by the contrast between before Easter and afterwards. Before Easter, great drama, heightened tension, fear, betrayal, humility, love, all bound up together in a great journey along the road to Golgotha, step by ghastly step. Now, I don't know how many of you have been to Jerusalem, and I hesitate to call it the Holy Land because that seems so far from the case these days. But when I went, I was very impressed with the old stone cobbled road along which Jesus may have traveled carrying his cross. I think it's called the Via Dolorosa. The end of the journey. Horrendous. And yet, from the moment that Mary Magdalene saw him in the garden and heard him call her name, everything has changed. The tension disappears into the ether like so much mist rising out of the valleys of the Bay of Islands, which I now know about. Mary Magdalene saw him and knew him. The disciples in the upper room saw him. And to pick up from Dennis's sermon last week, when he talked about cowering disciples in a locked room, the transformation from that situation to the excited and strong and confident evangelists that they became. Surely, at very least, that is truly remarkable. Well, I love to hear and to read the different accounts of the post-resurrection experiences in the Gospels. And so many of them are actually involved with our senses. Have you realized that? Mary Magdalene heard her name being called. Thomas was invited to touch. The disciples on the road to Emmaus were invited to see and to taste. And Simon Peter and the others must have smelt the fish being grilled across the water. What a wonderful thought. after Jesus had told them to put the net out again. Jesus appeared in so many ways to so many people that gradually it was accepted. The impossible had happened. He had indeed risen from the dead. And his opening greeting was, "Peace be with you." I hadn't thought about these words in quite the way of a Jewish shalom that Clay talked about recently. But it's easy to imagine, isn't it? Jesus, the Jewish rabbi, calling shalom as he entered a building. And I think that's a wonderful image. But I'm struck, too, by the universality of it all. Here we are in New Zealand, a long way from the Middle East, with our own interpretations of Jesus the man. And there is something familiar of our own culture and heritage, as well as the Jewish one. Last week, I attended a wedding here, and surprisingly, the hymn chosen was Jerusalem. I'm sure we all know that. Do we all know the hymn Jerusalem? And it includes the words, "Till we have built Jerusalem in England's green and pleasant land." Well, I must admit, I thought that was a little bit bizarre, but and peculiar. But then think of it again. What was Blake actually saying? Now, I think it's something to do with connection and individuality, our individuality, as well as otherness. Jesus is here in this land, identifying with you and with me. And you and me, in our turn, with him, from whatever culture or background we come. Those lines of Blake could have been written here, too, except that they don't scan, but other than that, they could. Something about bringing Jesus here as well as us going there. Well, a couple of years ago, I was privileged to attend a sort of English Oberammergau. Oberammergau is a mystery play somewhere in Germany. And the English one was in a beautiful part of Surrey at a place called Wintershall. I had my doubts before I went, English reserve and all that, even though I am Welsh. But in the event, it was a wonderful day. And it was a whole day, and I can see in my mind's eye so many things from that day, not least when somehow the thousands of us who were there were able to share in the feeding of the 5,000. The bread came up the hill, we had some, and we were out on the hillside. Also, I remember being part of the crowd as we made our way up the hill, chatting and staring, as crowds do, and being just a little bit frightened by the Roman soldiers who seemed to be appearing all around us. But the thing I remember most was the resurrection appearance of Jesus walking in bright, white, shining robes. It was a beautiful English summer day. And he walked alongside the side of an English lake in dappled sunshine. And a disciple leaping out of the boat and jumping into the black water to try to walk and swim towards him. That's a very English scene. So, what tosh, you may all be thinking. The first Easter wasn't a bit like that. But you see, in some ways, I believe it was, because it's personal to me. and to you, wherever you may be. For on that day in Surrey, we were able to identify with Jesus from our own culture and to be moved, and more than that, to be uplifted and to have a little understanding in the mystery of it all. He came to save us too. At Omar Amagau, the play that only takes place every 10 years, the cast rehearse for a very long time and during that time become physically like those whom they portray. In South America, the crucifixion and resurrection are also reenacted in a different way. And here I'm beginning to understand that the Maori culture contributes and receives in its own way. Jesus said to the 11, "Go now and make all nations my disciples." And somehow, that's exactly what they did. And that, to me, is the greatest miracle. The events of a small community at a time of great unrest during Roman occupation 2,000 years ago have been passed on from generation to generation to all people and all cultures because of one man whose name was Jesus, and today that name is known throughout the world. More books have been written about him than any other subject. Universities have been founded for the study of theology. Great minds throughout the centuries have grappled with this great mystery. And still we're grappling and exploring today. And all because one man died for us and rose from the dead for us, because he loved us.